This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So if you see someone in a difficult situation, recognize that this is not necessarily an indication of poor choices. On the contrary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed a certain amount of hardship, like poverty, like natural disasters, in part to give an opportunity to those who have wealth to give from what they have. In this way, both sides are tested. Those who are in need are tested in their ability to endure hardship and remain patient and rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas those who are not in hardship are tested by their willingness to give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Your wealth and your children are only a test, but Allah alone has a great reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only given us wealth and children to see what we will do with it, to see how we will respond to that blessing. Will we be grateful? Will we rise to the occasion and give from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with? Will we use what we've been given for goodness and righteousness when we're called upon, or not? Will we try to hold on? Will we become stingy and afraid that by giving we will end up in hardship ourselves? In other words, will we act like wealth is the reward that we're striving after? Or will we act like wealth is only a tool that Allah Azza wa Jalla gave us in order to obtain a better and lasting reward in the afterlife? Allah points out to us here in this verse that the true reward is with Allah. It's not in our wealth. Our wealth merely gives us an opportunity to achieve that true reward in the hereafter. Allah Ta'ala also addresses the internal struggle each one of us faces when there is a need and it's time to give. He says, فَتَقُوا اللَّهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَاسْمَعُوا وَأَطِيعُوا وَأَنْفِقُوا خَيْرًا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So be mindful of Allah. Fear Allah to the best of your ability and hear. Listen and obey and spend in charity. That will be best for you. And whoever is saved from the selfishness of their own soul, it is they who are truly successful. Giving is what's best for us. Because giving results, as Allah Ta'ala himself said, from being mindful of Allah and submitted to Allah's guidance. In the very next verse, Allah addresses one of the delusions that holds us back from giving, and that is imagining that giving is really taking a loss. That just because we see the money leave our bank accounts or our wallets, we think it's gone for good. Not so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ تُقْرِضُوا اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا يُضَاعِفْهُ لَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ شَكُورٌ حَلِيمٌ. If you lend to Allah a good loan, He will multiply it for you and forgive you. For Allah is most appreciative and most forbearing. Whatever we give is not lost. No, no, no. The opposite. We're actually storing it away for tomorrow. It is an investment that is certain to pay off. And we will cash in at the time of our most dire need when we meet our Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are purchasing our own forgiveness and our own spot in paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to get this into our heads, that things are not as they seem. We don't lose money by giving it away. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us plainly, charity does not decrease wealth at all. Minnan. This is a secret truth that only people of faith realize. And anyone who has ever experimented with this type of giving has stories to prove it. One of our professors in Medina, he shared his experience with us. He told us he was aware that one of his neighbors required 10,000 reals in order to not lose his home. That happened to be just about every penny that our professor had in his bank account at the time until the next month when his paycheck would come. But he fought himself, and he fought the stinginess of his own soul, and he triumphed, and so he gave that money to his neighbor. He told us, as soon as he walked in the door, when he came back to his home, his phone rang. When he picked up his phone, it was someone that he hadn't seen in years, calling him to tell him that he had money to pay him back. The professor had completely forgotten that he had given out this money. How much had the professor lent out? 10,000 reals, exactly. He asked the man on the phone, "Are you sure you don't need it? There's no rush." But the man insisted, and he was paid back what he had given the same day. It was as if he had never given it away at all. Allah Ta'ala is just testing us. He's just testing us in this particular spiritual struggle against our selfishness and against our stinginess. The stakes are relatively high. Allah Ta'ala tells us that those who fail this test, those who fail to spend during their lives, will be racked with regret in the hereafter. وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ فَيَقُولَ رَبِّ لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَى أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقَ وَأَكُنْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And donate from what we have provided for you before death comes to you and you cry out, "My Lord, if only you gave me a little more time. If only you gave me a couple more days, I would have given more in charity and I would have been one of the righteous people." When we spend money on ourselves, at the end of the day, those things don't stay with us for very long. The food that we eat is digested. The clothes that we wear are worn out. The homes that we live in will either be passed on to our descendants or sold to somebody else. Either way, we only enjoy these things for moments at a time. And then it's over. It's over as soon as our souls are taken from us. And often, which type of enjoyments you are prioritizing. And if we choose too often to not give, we are harming ourselves without even realizing it. The Prophet said, two angels descend every morning. One of them says, "Oh Allah, give to the one who spends something to replace that which he spent." And the other one says, "Oh Allah, give destruction to the one who withholds what they have." Allah Ta'ala tells us that consistently withholding one's wealth is a sign of hypocrisy. المنافقون والمنافقات بعضهم من بعض يأمرون بالمنكر وينهون عن المعروف ويقبضون أيديهم نسوا الله فنسيهم إن المنافقين هم الفاسقون. The male and female hypocrites are of the same ilk. They enjoin evil and they forbid goodness and they withhold their support. They forgot Allah, and so Allah will forget them. Surely the hypocrites are rebellious. Here Allah Ta'ala tells us that withholding one's wealth and other types of support is a symptom not only of hypocrisy, but also of forgetting Allah. If this type of behavior is consistent, Allah will eventually respond in kind and forget them when they need Him most on the Day of Judgment. In another ayah, Allah gets more specific and warns us what will happen to those who fail to spend in the way of Allah, but instead keep it all to themselves. وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُم بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Those who hoard their gold and silver and do not spend it in Allah's way, give them tidings of a painful torment. يَوْمَ يُخْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ فَتُقْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْنِزُونَ. The day will come when the treasure that they hoarded will be heated up in the fire, and their foreheads and their sides and their backs will be branded with it. It will be said to them, "This is the treasure that you were hoarding. Now taste what you hoarded." We ask Allah to give us a grateful and generous heart that will save us from such a fate. نقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه انه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله على احسانه والشكر له على توفيقه وامتنانه واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له تعظيما لشانه واشهد عبده ورسوله والداعي الى رضوانه صلى الله عليه وعلى اله واصحابه واخوانه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. The month of Ramadan teaches us generosity because it shifts our focus away from our needs. Yes, we're hungry. Yes, we're thirsty. Yes, we're tired. But we know that we have to wait until the end of the day for relief. The hope is that by quieting and delaying our own needs, we become more sensitive and aware to the needs of others. To give to others during our own state of need clearly demonstrates the strength of your faith and and will be an argument for you on the day of judgment. Ramadan also undermines one of the main scare tactics used by the devil to prevent us from being generous in the first place. The devil, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us himself, threatens us with poverty. He tries to get us to believe that by putting our money in the service of Allah and His deen, that we will end up in the poorhouse. He tries to make us see scarcity where, in reality, there is bounty and abundance. Ramadan undermines this tactic by proving that we can get by with less. That we're not going to fall apart so easily. That we don't need as much as we think we do. This realization frees us up to give and to share. And when we give and when we share, we realize that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. That giving actually makes our wealth and provision multiply. That it makes every penny that we have, every morsel of food, stretch farther than if we had retreated and spent our wealth only on ourselves. Brothers and sisters, there are individual needs, and there are communal needs. We need a functioning masjid on Campbell Street. We need a place that's big enough to have just one Juma prayer. We need a place with a kitchen so we can cook food and serve meals to others. We need a place big enough to make our sisters feel honored and welcomed when they come to the masjid. We need a place where we can have events for our children and our youth. And more than all of that, we need Jannah. We are in the last phase of construction for the masjid on Campbell Street. We are at the finish line. And whoever wants to secure their place in Jannah, there is an opportunity right in front of you that we will announce, inshallah ta'ala, after the salah. Allah ta'ala said, سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةِ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ. Hasten, race to your sustaining of mercy and paradise. ثُمَّ صَلُّوا وَسَلِّمُوا عَلَى نَبِيِّ رَحْمَةٍ كَمَا أَمَرَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ حَيْثُ قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين وانصر عبادك المؤمنين واجعل اللهم بلاد الإسلام آمنا مطمئنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارحم موتانا واعف مبتلانا واشف مرضانا واهد ضالنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. يا عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم والله يعلم ما تصنعون.